And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday, May 22nd. And what a difference a day makes. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. We're stuck in the 40s yesterday at this time. Today, we're in the low 60s and sunny. It's nice outside.
Sunny is going to help tremendously. I will give you a full report after I get back from our wheat field today. How muddy is it? Well, I think the answer is it's going to be muddy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at about 4 inches of rain on that field right now. So hopefully we also have the opportunity to put a drone in the air and take a look overhead. That may be good or bad.
Right.
But there's not as much water sitting right now as there was certainly yesterday afternoon. But we've been seeing a lot of rain just slowly soak in. So not coming in a hard pounding rain was a great thing for us.
And yeah, and amazing. Is there, I mean, it was so dry that I'm guessing a majority of this, if not all, totally soaked in instead of running off.
Some, but you know, let's go back out to Sioux County, North Dakota, where the Cannonball River is flowing out of its banks due to pushing 10 inches of rainfall, right? So
yeah.
It's variable.
Okay, good deal. Well, I'll tell you what, there's no rain in the forecast for today. It's going to be a nice one out there. In fact, temperatures, as we said, in the low 60s right now. And we're going to continue to see those temperatures climb as we head throughout the afternoon into the mid-upper 60s. And winds not bad out of the north at 5 to 15. Then tonight, under clear skies, we'll bottom out in the upper 30s. And tomorrow, we'll see partly cloudy skies. So not quite as much sun, but still a decent day. Mid-upper 60s again tomorrow with light northeast winds. And then the weekend, the holiday weekend, I know a lot of people usually start planting their gardens and doing those outside chores. We're looking at temperatures over the weekend, mid to upper 60s, and only an isolated pop-up afternoon or evening shower with the heating of the day over the holiday weekend. So most areas, not really not going to see much at all. But again, if you have outdoor plans, you'll get them in. But keep in mind, there is a slight chance of a pop-up shower here or there. So don't go and cancel any outdoor plans, but just be aware that might see a pop-up shower. And if you're going out in the western part of the state, that looks a little wetter out in the far west. And again, nothing heavy rain, but a little more widespread coverage of rain out in the western part of the state if you're heading out there for the upcoming Memorial Day weekend. So all in all, not a bad looking forecast. It looks like we will start to warm things up a little bit as we head into next week. Well, I think we'll see more 70s by the middle and end of next week. So finally, we'll start to warm things up a little bit.
Yeah, and really, I like the slow warming temperatures. I'd have been a little concerned had we gone to pretty fast back to the 90 degrees, only because we'd see more soil crusting and where we'd have trouble with some of these newly germinating and trying to emerge plants, trying to get up from underneath the ground. So like right now, our wheat is up. I think there's in the next 4 days with sunshine, we are going to see a horrendous amount of corn pop out of the ground that wasn't out, and certainly soybeans. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be time to watch a lot of growth stages. I think just everything, right? You know, right up to our sugar beets and potatoes in the region.
Do you know offhand what, I guess I could check end on here, the soil temperatures are around the area?
With the sunshine right now, I bet they've jumped up tremendously. You know, Earlier this week, we were only talking 46 to 49 degrees, but we're probably going to start pushing something closer to what air temperature looks like because we have a lot of black soils out there.
Right. Okay.
So that's going to change quite a bit for us. Pasture-wise, looks a lot better. I had a discussion this morning with a producer in south central North Dakota and said that right now they're seeing stock dams refilling, just like we've talked about a little bit, and felt that the grass was going to turn much more lush. In fact, they were looking at moving cows out probably today, tomorrow, et cetera. And this was going to be a great opportunity to do it. They were actually waiting for things to dry out a smidge.
Yeah.
Getting into those pastures.
And taking a look at the soil temps here. In Cass County, anywhere from 46 to 53.
Yeah.
Clay County, 48 to 50. You go down in the Southern Valley, down in Wahpeton, and soil temps between 50 and 60.
Think how much that's going to go up by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sunshine we've got, mm-hmm. that will help tremendously. So folks are going to see quite a bit of changeover. If you were worried about mowing your lawn before, good news, you'll be doing it again. So we'll get all those things taken care of.
Gotcha.
A lot of gardens are in.
Oh, yeah.
More to go. This is Memorial Day weekend. It's not unsurprising that we haven't had a chance to plant till now.
Right.
Yeah, right. So it'll be a good week for that. And overall, I think that if you have rain totals and you haven't had an opportunity to share them with us yet, we'd love that you would. You can certainly reach us at our JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. You can send emails like Steve did this morning. He emailed Dean and I about his weather total.
Yep.
He's got one of our rain gauges from Darter Industries, and he said he had... Did you get the email too, Dean?
I did. 2.8. Was it 2.8? Yeah.
Yep, 2.8 inches. That's over in the Dilworth area. And thanks for sending those in, Steve. And we want more people to do that as well. That information gets reported back to National Weather Service and is just used for more accurate reporting and forecasting in this region. If you're watching today, you're going to have a great chance to watch us on the live stream, whether it's on Facebook, YouTube, or Acres TV. You'll find us there under WDAY Weather and Ag in Focus. We have guests coming in today. One will be on video, and that'll be Tyler Melrow. He's with the South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation. We're going to talk about their upcoming gala in June. It's beef month, so it's the right time to be talking about beef, cattle on pasture, and what that gala is and what the cattlemen do in South Dakota to support hunger in that state. And then also we'll be joined halfway through our show today by Ray Grabansky. He's with Progressive Ag. If you are someone who's farming, or maybe you have your land rented out, maybe you're doing some sharecropping, and you're wondering, you know, what are markets looking like? When's our next WASDE report? All of those types of things. Ray will have an opportunity to visit with us about them, share his insights from his years of marketing, risk management, and more in the grain business. And so, yeah, it's going to be kind of a full day of things going on.
Sounds like it. That's good, though.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Now, on the headlines front, a couple of things happening there. First of all, as I mentioned, I talked to producers this morning who are looking to move cattle out to pasture, but there's cattle moving to feedlots as well. And there's a fair amount of stress. If you're going to load cows up, put them in a bull rack or a cattle pot, whatever you want to call it, and then have 10 to 15 hours of drive time to get them somewhere, that can be stressful. I mean, for the love of all things holy, it's stressful for us, much less for those cows. And there's some things that you want to make sure that you're doing once they arrive, making sure that there's water immediately, right? If they haven't stopped somewhere along the way, you're going to need to do that. Fresh water is important to get them back rehydrated. There's always some shrink weight on the truck, so it's time to help those animals out. Additionally, making sure that they're getting the right nutrients and feed. If you are working with a nutritionalist, you can kind of have a plan on their arrival when they get to the feedlot, or you've talked to that feedlot in advance. There are some cases where cattle are coming in and there may be a concern about pneumonia or other items, and you may have to see them vaccinated right off the bat. Please remember, cattlemen don't vaccinate their cattle randomly. It's expensive. It's like taking your kid to the doctor.
Right.
So you don't just do it because it's a great idea. And so they're going to monitor the herd health and make sure they're doing the right things for them. But also deworming. That can be an ejection or a drench to make sure that that's taken care of for those animals too. So just some tips and ideas to be thinking ahead as you are getting ready to have that optimal feeder health as you're moving these cattle out to feedlots, et cetera. So it's a good idea. Also yesterday, our guest was Lisa Peterson with NDSU Livestock Extension, and she made mention of the fact that there can be some magnesium deficiencies because of the situation we've had with grass so far this year. So consider supplementing that in their feed as you are making sure your cattle are taken care of even before they get to a feedlot.
All right.
Tips and reminders. So we want to take a moment to hear the markets from the American Ag Network. When we return, we'll be joined by Tyler Melrow. Again, he's with the South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation. Talk about their upcoming gala. We'll be right back. Oh, everything on your farm should run smoothly, from the tractors to the trucks to your technology. And if it is not, if you are having problems or if you're concerned about potential security breaches, and we just talked about one earlier today. Dean has a friend who had a credit card hack today.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure to talk to Chris Sherman at Tech Support Farm. He specializes in farm and agribusinesses. He knows what you need to have done, and he understands what's happening in your operation when you visit with them. So check out techsupportfarm.com. Look at their self-assessment, the fence check, and see what needs to be done for your operation. Speaking of operations, well, there's a big one going on in South Dakota. We're going to kick it off here in Beef Month, even though the Primetime Gala by the South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation will be happening in June. And we're joined by Tyler Melrow. Tyler has all the background information. Tyler, let's start. What's the South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation? What y'all up to down there?
Hey, first of all, thanks for having me on and giving us a chance to talk about our event that we have down in Sioux Falls here coming up Saturday, June 21st. Just a little bit of background on the South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation. I think our organization is about 12 years old now. This is our 12th or 13th gala that we've had. Initially, the foundation came together to try to put people in our industry together, businesses, companies, and producers that are interested in again, supporting the industry further. And our initial initiative was to raise money to buy beef to get more protein for the food insecure. And so we have partnered since the beginning with Feeding South Dakota. And what they do is they take our annual donation and purchase beef that's distributed throughout the state through food banks across the state of South Dakota. And that that partnership at this point has generated $2.7 million and over 1.5 million pounds of beef have been purchased because of this in that time frame for food insecure families across the state. Since then, we've grown, though. Our mission has grown. We found more need in our industry. Again, I think it's important to note this is not a political organization. We're not lobbying for anything. We're trying to just really express the goodwill of our industry. And we've went on to add also generating money for scholarships. And we started some different events for young people that are interested in cattle feeding and also getting involved in even some research, whether that be beef cattle research or even now starting to dip our toe in investing in some human nutrition research using beef.
You guys have an interesting spread of discussion points. Like you said, your first focus was on nutrition, health, the hungry in the state of South Dakota. But again, you're working for the betterment of all cattlemen, no matter what you do, your breed association, anything like that. And to say that you have raised this many dollars to be bringing in over 1 million pounds of beef, is there an organization like yours in any other state in the union?
You know, we know there are some groups that are doing some similar things, or maybe they aren't doing the same things with the money, but there are cattlemen's groups that are doing that. I don't know if there's any that maybe aren't affiliated with one of the groups that's more interested in lobbying and the political side of things. We are, again, our sole function is to support our industry. And again, that's showing the generosity of our industry, trying to develop young people that want to come back to our industry. And then again, kind of this third leg has been in investing in what's next for our industry.
So let's talk about the gala. I have been incredibly fortunate to have been at the gala a couple years ago. It's a gala, it's a concert, it is a lot.
Well, Scotty McCreary's going to be down there.
Absolutely.
So everybody knows who he is.
Yes. Tyler, you're just going to have to start with the basics. What is going on Saturday, June 21st?
Yeah, so just to tell you about the event, and yeah, Bridget has been there, and we enjoyed having you. You'll show up, and again, we start the evening off with our gala event. The gala event includes recognizing our scholarship winners. There's a live and a silent auction that goes on that night that you can participate in. I think most importantly, there is a beef ribeye steak dinner that night. Mm-hmm. One of the most impressive feats of man, I think, is that they get all 2,200 ribeye steaks out to those to that crowd in about 10 minutes.
And they're not overcooked.
I think
overcooked.
In all the years, I've heard like maybe two people ever complain about them in the 12 years of doing this. And so they're dead on there. It's phenomenal. It's actually the beef comes from Demcota Ranch Beef. That's out of Aberdeen, South Dakota there. And so it is in its event. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, you go to these meetings a lot of times and it's just full of company people. They said, well, what percent of the people there are actually raising cattle, feeding cattle or raising calves or whatever it might be. And I don't know if we actually have the answer for that, but it is the consensus of the group that you will not go to an event where you can see more producers and people at. You know, I would say 75% of our table sales are ranches, feedlots, purebred breeders, those kind of things. And so, again, to go to an event and really be with your peers, There's nothing like it. I know in the state of South Dakota, there's nothing like it, and I've never seen anything like it anywhere else like that. And then when we get done with the event that evening, we draw for a brand new pickup, which we'll talk about here in a second, probably. That's how we kind of close it off. And then we head down the hallway to the Denny Sanford Premier Center, where, again, we'll have a concert with Scotty Mercury and Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. And so, just a lot of fun night. It's a night that, you know, you leave there the day after and you just circle it on the calendar for next year.
And Tyler, I mean, this is such a great event. You're raising money for great causes. Is this something exclusive to South Dakota? Have you looked at possibly expanding this into other states?
No, that's a good question. You know, in terms of our giving to this point, obviously some of our nutrition and research things that we're looking at, we're starting to maybe invest a few of those dollars outside of the state of South Dakota. Our scholarship programs and again, our donation to Feeding South Dakota, those dollars have been and continue to be utilized in the state of South Dakota there. But we have folks, you know, from all states or surrounding South Dakota that do support the event. And, you know, there's a lot of ways, you know, even if you're busy on the 21st or if you're interested in coming on the 21st, no matter where you're from, we have a lot of ways that people can participate that just see the benefit of this organization, of what we do, and really of the generosity that we're trying to extend.
You know, I was down there a couple summers ago for this event, and the lady who she's the executive director for Great Plains Food Bank here in North Dakota, she was there because looking to see how does this operation run, how does the foundation do this primetime gala event? Because you're right, it could be replicated in other places, but South Dakota's got a handle on it. And when it comes to what they do that night through silent auction, live auction, the pickup raffle tickets, all adds to that overall total because there's a great big check that gets handed out on stage in the Denny Sanford Arena. And those checks have been sizable, not just physically, but the dollar amount.
Right. Yeah. and Tyler, how many, again, if somebody didn't catch us at the beginning, how many years have you been doing this and how much money have you raised so far again?
I think this will be our 12th gala. Okay. And we've raised $2.7 million in the galas leading up to this. And that's just the donation to Feeding South Dakota. That's not counting the money we've raised for scholarships and those sort of things. We give away approximately $20,000+ in scholarships annually. I think the probably total giving, if you put everything together, is at this point probably over $3 million.
Wow, that's great.
So there's a raffle. I already bought my ticket. I want to tell others, you know, hold back, it's mine. But I do want all these tickets to sell out because there's a limited amount for a brand new pickup from Billion Chevrolet, correct?
Right. And so every dollar that goes into purchasing these tickets, these raffle tickets for the pickup are going to, like you said, end up in the check at the end of the night on the 21st in front of that large crowd for the Jordan Davis and Scotty Mercury concert. There is a website, mm-hmm. Primetime Gala Raffle, primetimegalaraffle.com. That will take you to a link where you can actually purchase tickets and get a chance to win. I think last year's winner was from Florida. So, you know, people have an opportunity to buy these tickets really anywhere, no matter where you're from. And it's easy to do. So again, if you're interested in supporting our organization, that's one really easy way to do it and give yourself a chance to win that brand new pickup. If you go to our Facebook page, South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation, you'll actually, if you scroll down, find videos of, they actually have some videos of that brand new Chevy 3/4 ton Duramax diesel pickup on there.
And it's there on display. It's worth seeing. And when you walk in, this is a very large conference room full of tables, people, fun and excitement. I just had a text message from one of our listeners, Naomi, and she said, I want to go to this. So hopefully others are thinking the same thing and they are going to the Cattlemen's website in order to make that happen. So Tyler,
and
please.
There is still a few tables available. So if they're interested in attending that night, reach out to me. I think you could get it through our website or through our Facebook page. You could find those links. There is opportunities to attend still.
We would love to see more folks. We want to see that room full.
Absolutely.
We want to see the dollars go up because providing fresh beef to those who need it across the state of South Dakota when they may not be able to afford it, I think, is one of the most honorable goals that one organization could want to accomplish. Tyler?
Absolutely.
Last things that you want to make sure to point out to folks for us, we'd really appreciate anything before we touch on our bottom of the hour news.
Yeah, no, again, just thanks for having me on. If you are interested, find a way to reach out. Find us either, again, if you're interested in the raffle, primetimegalaraffle.com. Our webpage, if you just Google us, South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation.com. There's all sorts of information about the event. And again, if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. I think it's really, not only is it hopefully showing the generosity, but it's also a great value for a good time. It's not cheap to go out anymore and to end up getting a ribeye steak and this kind of entertainment with 2,000 of your best friends. It's a pretty unique opportunity and a pretty good value.
I will make sure to send out the links with our live stream video on Facebook, et cetera, after the show today so folks can find all those links a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Thank you, Tyler. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to catch the news and be back. Thanks to all those sponsors who are part of our Here We Grow project. I'm going to be headed out to the field here once we're done on air. And I want to say a big thank you to Progressive Ag, Ray Grabansky and friends. They are part of our project this year. We were expecting Ray to be in studio today. Haven't seen him. Something might have come up. Hopefully we will get a chance to catch up to him very soon. And then additionally, Vision Ford out of Wahpeton. So if you are concerned about your vehicle, is it making a noise? It shouldn't. Is it time to trade? And there are folks that are in a rush to trade right now prior to the tariff reprieve going off so that they can get vehicles traded. Ford, I believe, has also said that they are currently doing, you can buy as an employee pricing.
Discount. Yeah.
So get on in there while you can. Want to say a great big thank you again to Tyler Melrow from South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation for joining us. One of the things that South Dakota is also doing through their cattlemen's was they worked with a partnership to Jorgensen Land and Cattle Company. And for those who don't know Jorgensen's, they're near Ideal, South Dakota. They are an operation that farms. They have cattle. They have just begun. They have a hunting lodge. They've got quite a lot of activity going on down there in Ideal, South Dakota. And Jorgensen's partnered with South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation, and they have delivered $100,000 in all beef hot dogs to Feeding South Dakota. So that's $100,000 worth of hot dogs being distributed through their food pantry network, right? We call ours Great Plains Food Bank. So this is a pretty big deal. Now I'm looking for how many pounds $100,000 of hot dogs is. Nobody says how many it is, but they're all beef. When I think about hot dogs, I remember like the Oscar Mayer 99 cents a pound ones, or excuse me, 99 cents a package. I think these are much better.
I would hope so.
These are, you know, real good. In honor of George Wendt's passing yesterday, we were watching Cheers last night and they talked about, you know, what's in a hot dog was in one of their episodes. And it sounded terrible. These hot dogs that South Dakota and Jorgensen's put together sound much better.
Much better.
But $100,000, that's still a lot. Yeah, it's very cool.
So taking a look at the latest drought monitor map.
Yes.
Just came out this morning. And most, I'd say 80% of the state now is without drought conditions. That's 70% of the state without drought conditions. The far, far southeastern corner.
Okay. You finish yours, but I got an argument.
Okay, believe me, I was going, and I'll expand on that. So the far southeastern part of the state, abnormally dry. As you go out west, there are still extreme drought conditions in the far west, but that has shrank quite a bit. Now, I would think, here's my beef, with all the rain we've had here and points southward, I don't see how we could still be abnormally dry in the far southeastern corner.
Because I don't think it's been accurately reported yet, and here's why. When you look at that drought monitor, the primary reporters for that are actually county agents. It is May. All right, so let's go through the list. County agents are worried about getting 4-H'ers ready for their upcoming state convention in June. We have the school year wrapping up. We have plenty of parents that have all sorts of activities going on, graduations like crazy. If you are an extension agent in a western county, you have probably been getting inundated with phone calls about pasture land. What is this drought going to do to, and now heavy rainfall going to do to water quality in my stock ponds? What's happening with the local gardeners, et cetera? I don't think they've had time to report.
Okay.
So I don't think that drought monitor has updated because we have a human flaw that not enough information has been given. And I don't want to just single out one person and say it's your fault. I think right now, collectively, people are just busy and they haven't had a chance to give it accurate. I think next week's drought monitor will be far more accurate for us.
I would hope so. Even though this was just released this morning, you would think they would have gotten
some
of the data in.
And it shrunk. Like you can see that red mark shrunk. but I think it's even smaller than that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we could probably take the far southeastern from Fargo southward out of the abnormally dry conditions as well.
I think we probably could. Yeah. And granted, you know, if you're looking at your topsoil, absolutely, you have plenty of moisture in there. There are a number of places, though, that if you get down 10 to 12 inches, you're back to powder. So also, how are we reporting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we drawing from that measurement for depth and moisture? So I think there's a couple of factors in there. Maybe we just need more information, right?
And that there's never too much information. It's always a good thing.
Not when it comes to this type of thing. Yeah. Folks want to be paying close attention to all of it as much as they can. And speaking of more information, paying close attention, hey, if you are a student and you're out of school, or if you have a student who will be out of school and is interested in being our assistant ag director for a day, I'm always looking for students. I've got most of the summer filled up, but I don't want to fall short. And if I have more than one per month, geez, that's okay. We love working with kids, having them come in where they help us interview guests, answer questions to headlines, and just learn about them so much more. So if you have students who are interested, send me an email, ag@flagfamily.com. Be happy to have them be a part of our group. Okay, so as it's gotten to be nicer weather out, we are also seeing more horses going out to pasture, et cetera. Horses are kind of like the Urkel of the farm animal, because they trip, they get cut, they fall over things, getting cut in hay rings. If there's a wire down, they're going to fall over it. It's kind of how horses are. Or maybe they were just the ones that we had. But nonetheless, horses with lower limb injuries are not unusual. This is advice from a vet who says if you have a distal limb laceration, so distal limb means lower, we're talking below the knee, mostly just above the hoof area. If you have lacerations like that, first thing you want to do is assess that by saying, how much blood is there? Is it, I can count drops, or if this is a steady stream is bad. That's when we wrap her up tight. Even if you went over to Fleet Farm across the interstate from where we are right now, you could get the right horse wrap that hoof up, and then transport that animal to a vet. Sometimes there's enough flesh left because it's very thin skinned. You got to think about it. At the bottom of a horse's leg down towards the hoof, you do not have very much flesh to try to sew something back together. And so you have to think about, can I suture this? Can I not? Do I have to wrap it up? And do I have to keep it wrapped in order for this to heal? Vets are going to flush this out with saline to make sure there's no potential for infection, et cetera. That's one thing. But then additionally, you have to keep them wrapped and probably keep them in a stall so they're out of the mud and they don't get bugs into that, because flies would wreak havoc on an open wound, et cetera. So think about how those limb cuts need to be treated. They need to be taken care of very carefully because you don't want a lame animal in the end. So just a few tips and tricks if your horses are going out, whether it's onto pasture or what you might be doing with them, but try to keep everybody safe as if you can. Again, they're sometimes a little bit like the Urkel. I mean, goats are jerks. Horses are clumsy. This is purely my opinion. Feel free to tell me differently if you'd like, but that's some of the things I look at. So yeah, we've got more going on past baling. Baling hay isn't going to be all that long away.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. We have some more headline ideas to talk about. And there's always the opportunity to hear what's going on in your operation. So if you've had plenty of rainfall this week, and I bet you have, but you want to send us any of those rainfall totals, you can give us a call, ask questions of us, and you can reach us at 701-293-9000. We'll be back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday afternoon. And we've got temperatures outside in the low to mid-60s. We're going to make it up into the upper 60s today with plenty of sun, not much of a breeze out of the north, 5 to 15. Clear skies down into the upper 30s tonight, and another halfway decent day tomorrow, mid-upper 60s with a northeast wind at 5 to 15. And then we'll see a mix of sun and clouds as we head into the holiday weekend, mid-upper 60s. It's kind of like a broken record, except over the holiday weekend, we do stand a chance of an isolated pop-up shower in the afternoon or evening. Again, keyword is isolated if you have outdoor plans. Shouldn't have anything to worry about. And then we'll finally see some warmer temperatures next week, a return back into the 70s. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists.
baling is coming. We're going to start making hay. And it feels like we just finished. But nonetheless, it won't be long. In fact, yesterday, our guest Lisa was talking about, she thought they had a really great stand of alfalfa already and was hoping that the heavy rainfall didn't do anything to wreck it. I've also gotten a lot of pictures of hail from midline in South Dakota going south. And hail could be very damaging to some of that hay crop as well.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully we can avoid that. And I had someone ask me why we haven't had hail yet. Normally, we don't have hail until we get into June.
Yeah. No, this would be a little early in the season. And just a heads up, so the active weather pattern that we've been in, with all the severe reports down in Missouri, Kentucky, all those areas, keep in mind, according to the LRC, this will be lifting. It'll be back around in about 40 days, so that would put us towards the latter half of June.
Sure.
And the severe weather that was down to the south will come northward as we head into the end of June. So, unfortunately, our chances of severe weather will significantly increase for that second half of June and probably the first week in July as well.
Well, it will, but I also think about, okay, if we're going to try to make a hay crop, that's not awesome if we're looking at heavy rainfall, heavy dewy mornings, et cetera. NDSU Extension tells us when you're baling, your moisture level should be a maximum of 20% for small squares, 18% for rounds, and 15% for large squares. And the larger the forage package, the lower the moisture needs to be. Why do we have to watch moisture content? That hay can mold. Hay gets hot. We've actually had fires where the hay gets hot enough that it combusts, starts smoldering, and burns down hay sheds. So, yeah. You don't put hay up to rest, so to speak, if it's still potentially warm. You'll burn a whole stack down. I've got plenty of folks that can attest to that.
All right. And we've got Tom on line one. Sure. Tom, you've got a question for Bridget or me or myself?
No, just quick comment. We were down in St. Cloud on Sunday, and they were just about to start haying. I mean, right now, the alfalfa is about 15, 16 inches tall. It was ready.
I really feel like that's so early, but...
Yeah, it is. By 2 weeks, my wife's from that area, and she said at least by 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's ready to go.
It's ready to go. And St. Cloud, Dean, did St. Cloud have as much as rain as we did?
No.
Okay.
No. They did not.
Okay.
No. Yeah. They did get some decent rain, but not as much as we had up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, you got a great point. Hay season has begun for many, and we just want to make sure that's good quality because there'll be areas further west that will not have as good of hay. So if that St. Cloud group is able to have quality hay, they might be able to sell some later.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, you never know when what you have is somebody else is excited to buy from you.
Right. And so 2 weeks early. Due to the warm weather. I mean, we had that stretch of, really warm weather in 80s and 90s.
Not a lot of snow cover.
True. Yep.
Some areas, I did have a couple of listeners who asked, this was more of West Central Minnesota asking about freeze damage on alfalfa. And that was early. That was still in March. And we really didn't know because we hadn't thought out enough. The crop wasn't actively growing enough to tell if we'd had damage, which there are some areas that likely do have a bit of damage to their hay. And by now they would know if they were having to rip up a field or a reseed or something like that.
Right.
We will have folks over the next few days with the sunshine as it dries off. We're able to get back in the fields to assess them if we have replant situations. Because as we talked about with the professional ag ladies on Tuesday, if you have soybeans in the field that have been in this cold, wet soils without seed treatments, et cetera, the potential for rotting seed, for disease, et cetera, gets much higher. And so we'll be assessing what replants might look like, both in soybeans and corn, for early season corn, as we go through probably the next 10 days, see if that has to happen.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things to be paying attention to. We get real busy right now. Sprayers are waiting to go back out. I had a farmer tweet last night. He says, it's been wet. Go double check everything on your sprayer and make sure it is ready to go because the moment that the wind is down and the field is dry, you do not want to have to be doing repairs.
Right.
And he's not wrong.
Right.
Right? We've got things we got to keep up with. Based on our discussion today, if you're not in the field and you are making repairs, don't forget to go buy your raffle ticket for that pickup down there at South Dakota.
I meant to ask him, and I'm guessing the answer is no if somebody won it from Florida unless they were there. Do you have to be present to win?
No.
You don't?
So when I bought my ticket, you get all the, they ask for your phone number, your email, et cetera, so that they can contact you, that you are the winner. And I have been there the year I was there, the person who won was in the room. and got to drive it out that night.
Boy, that'd be great.
Yeah. There's some paperwork you have to do first.
I'm sure, taxes,
I mean,
yeah,
you're going to have to be planning for taxes because, you know, a brand new Chevy Duramax diesel, it's like buying a small house. It's not cheap.
Right.
But I'd take it home.
Heck yeah.
I'll figure that deal out a little bit later. I do have a text message right now from a farmer up in Northwest Cass County and also Trail County. He says, quite a bit of winter kill they thought what they would have in their alfalfa, but it's not nearly as bad as expected.
Good.
So appreciate that, Ben. Thank you.
Good deal. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.